Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finance to fetishes. Yeah, we cover it all.
I hate small talk so much at a party with strangers. I don't care about your life that much. I want to hear about like all the problems in your relationship.
Right. That's how we bond.
I think it's tough to date somebody that's a different sex drive than you, and I think that for women, it can leave you feeling not desired. I had to ghost him in my own building during a worldwide quarantine. Shame me for talking about sex. We have built this empire based on it. Like, I don't care. Those are my decisions. You can do whatever you want to do. I don't fucking care.
Guys, I do not think that you are ready for this podcast. I have been a fan of Girls Gotta Eat for not that long, I'll be honest. But the length of time does not account for just how many episodes of this podcast that I have consumed and just how many times I have looked crazy on the tube listening to the most outrageous things or doing like a really wholesome activity and just listening to things that if they ever were blasted out loud would probably make me cry and maybe die in public. So after this, you're going to go and find Girls Gotta Eat and you're going to listen to the podcast. But in the meantime, if you want to know the behind the scenes of Girls Gotta Eat, this is the episode for you to be listening to. I was absolutely pissing myself laughing. Of course, this is a slight escape from the general businessy type topics we have on working hard, hardly working. However, I think that does not mean it is any less relevant. We spend this episode talking about your dilemmas, your big questions about sex, dating, and relationships, and Ashley and Raina get real open about their journey so far, their opinions on the fact that Ashley's been vocal about not wanting to have children and got shit for it online, pretty much everything from engagements that have fallen through to crazy tour stories. And I am going to need you to listen to this episode and send it to your friends. It is chaos in the best way possible. So enjoy, have a good day. Maybe don't play this on speaker. Raina Greenberg and Ashley Hasseltine are the hilarious hosts behind Girls Gotta Eat, one of the biggest US comedy podcasts all about dating, sex, and relationships. With over 200 episodes and 2.5 million downloads per month, Girls Gotta Eat has been educating and entertaining listeners on all things from sexual fetishes to finances, bringing in special guests, including therapists, comedians, and authors to offer expert advice. Dating, breakups, sex fails, getting rejected and being ghosted have happened to everyone, and this podcast explores it all, featuring honest and hilarious conversation along the way. Earlier this year, Ashley and Raina also launched their own brand, Good Vibes Only, a first-of-its-kind sex toy company that connects to an audio erotica app with an aim to make porn more accessible to women. With one of the vibrators in their collection having sold out twice with a perpetual waitlist, Ashley and Raina are killing the game, and I'm so excited to be sitting down with them today to hear all about how they got to where they are today and to answer some of your dilemmas.
Thanks so much for joining me.
Of course.
I feel like I've had you guys in my ears for like a long time. Like I started listening to you in actually like not that long ago, but you know when you find something you like and you just like blitz it. Like I was on like a very wholesome like family holiday listening to everything on your podcast.
We love that. Like, with the family.
Yeah, like everyone sit down. The way I found you guys, it wasn't through socials. I searched a keyword. I can't remember what it was, but like you know when you're thinking about something for a long time and it's something you're talking with your friends about a lot, searched it and it was in one of your titles and I was like, what's this? And I was like listening to it and I was like, oh, this is a good
That's
discovery.
Yeah, well your phone is always listening to you so it'd be funny if we could be serving ads that when people are talking about blowjobs with their friends, they look down at their phone, they get our podcast, it pops up. Like, how do we get in on that?
What if a guy was yelling and he was like, you never suck my dick!
And then it's
and
like,
then
pops
it just pops up, like how to give a better blowjob.
And you're like, this is the sign from God.
So I want to get back to the beginning of like you starting the podcast and what made you start it, how it was at the beginning versus how it is now. Can I just get the story?
Well, I always say I'm the anniversary person. So this month is our 5-year anniversary of becoming best friends,
congrats,
meeting.
Of when we met. Yeah, yeah. Our friendiversary. So I had this idea to do a podcast when I was in Atlanta. And then when I moved to New York, I'd been doing a little TV, a little radio, stand-up comedy, all the things. And I also became just very interested in relationships and talking about them, analyzing them. I went through a pretty rough breakup that mm-hmm. I just couldn't shut the fuck up about, mm-hmm. you know? So I just was like, maybe I can just talk about this for a living and like learn more and also have a comedic twist. So I had this idea that I wanted to do a podcast about relationships, dating, sex. I've always been super open about that kind of stuff. That was also comedy. And I was going to do it with this guy and it just kind of fell through, thank God. And then I still really wanted to do it. I also felt like that was the next career pivot I wanted to take, from like blogging to influencer stuff to podcast was the next thing that I personally wanted to do. And I had it in my head. I knew I wanted to do it. And then I met Raina on this trip in October of 2017. We were on this influencer trip in Aruba and we met and really hit it off. And we did talk about a lot of like dating, relationships, like all the horror stories, all the funny stories. And we came back to New York. We became real friends post-trip. And I was like, I want to start this, figure this out before the end mm-hmm. of the year. Like, I had an end of the year goal. And I was literally just on the couch one night and texted Raina, like, would you want? I actually think we were texting about, like, being single in New York City and dating. Mm-hmm. I thought she was so funny and super open. Of course, there was a question on my mind of would she be this open mm-hmm. on a public right. platform, which I asked her right away. But I basically just asked, would you want to do a podcast? And she said yes immediately. I think she was like typing, like the bubble popped up before I barely even hit send. And then my next question was, are you open about this kind of thing? Because you just, not everybody is. Like right. some people have a corporate job. I knew she didn't have that. We were living the same type of lifestyle, but I'm like, she gonna think, let her dad hear this, mm-hmm. you know? And so it just worked out. And we really started talking about it, brainstorming, having drinks, going to coffee, and I think kind of vetting each other. Like, is right. this person a hard worker? Do they follow through with what they right. say they're gonna do? Are they creative? Are they smart? You know, can they spell? Things like that.
she cannot.
And I was like, that's actually, that doesn't check the list. I'm kidding. But then we really started treating it like a business. Like,
you're co-founders.
But a lot of people just throw a mic up and they right. throw something against the wall. I mean, we were like, let's do promo photos. Let's have a brand before we launch this out into the world to our combined million followers yeah. on Instagram. And that was the origin story. And we started it right around Valentine's Day, February 18th.
This morning, I was looking at my old engagement photos from my engagement that ended. And I was like thinking as I was peeing this morning, looking at them, I don't even like remember a life before Ashley.
I know. It's a different life.
It was a different life. And, you know, when she approached me for this, I was at a point in my life where I was like ready to do something different. I was food blogging. I had this giant food and travel blog, but I wasn't finding the joy in it I wanted anymore. Mm. And I felt like it's time to do this next thing. And what is the next thing? And I'm always really purposeful with the risks I take. I think, mm-hmm. you know, can I be good at this? Can I be an expert at it? Am I going to be able to support myself doing this? Her and I were really purposeful in starting this as a business. So we took it really seriously and also made it fun. But every episode has a purpose. There's a takeaway from right. all of them. We wanted promo photos and a website, like she said. And this wasn't like, let's just throw this at a wall, figure yeah. it out, you know?
And you can tell that as well, because I think that like even the format you do it, like because I was listening to you guys just before I restarted my podcast. And I was like thinking the things that drew me in for every single episode was like, regardless of whether it's like an expert you're interested in, you're going to be interested in it because you have like the rapport at the beginning, which is really important. Then you bring them in, but it's always kind of like there is a takeaway. Like it is completely like cemented on something, which as someone who is doing podcasting, like I can reassure anyone who's not, like that's not fucking easy. Like it's not mm-hmm. easy to kind of like do the research and get someone to like actually go along those lines and share the information mm-hmm. and all of that with it also still not being staged. Like you guys make it look easy, but it's not fucking easy.
Well, thank you. And we put a lot of effort into the guests that we pick and the topics that we pick. And we try mm-hmm. to think, have we done really serious episodes like back to back? Is it time to switch it up with something funnier? Mm-hmm. If we've done something really heavy or a mental health episode, is it time to do something sex related? And we put a lot of thought into that. And even if you don't know the guests, we want there to be a takeaway that's like a hot take.
I think most podcasts I listen to based on the guests they have that week, yours I don't. Like, as in it will be, like, based on, like, you know it's going to be a good episode.
Well, and after 4.5 years, we run the numbers. We know right. that people, it just doesn't matter. Right. I mean, we know what's most popular. I mean, the episodes of Just Us perform at the very top. Mm-hmm. right after that's probably the episodes where we have guys come in and explain how they think.
Mm-hmm. It's
this
like,
window
help!
Into their world. They yeah. share all their secrets, mm-hmm. you know. And then, of course, people really like mental health as much as sucking dick, yeah. truly. So we yeah. love that. And
what a title. Thank you. Thank you for giving us the title to the episode.
I always say porn stars to politicians, but it is mental health to sucking dick.
Finance to fetishes. Yeah, we cover it all. So, you know, sometimes people are like, you need to tell us when the interview starts. We're like, no. Figure it out on yeah, your, on your of, own. Yeah. You know? Like, and then the other half of the people are like, we just want you to. Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. So whatever.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can tell you do it really. Like, you do it as a business and it shows in, like, the amount of effort you put in, but it also feels effortless, which I know, sounding like the biggest fangirl, I would honestly write you a fucking reference. I'd do, like, a Trustpilot review.
And how long did it take from starting it to blowing up?
I mean, we joke that we knew we had something yeah, day right. one. I mean, the amount of time I put into editing that first episode, condensing it to under 40 minutes, that right. was this vision I had, like, keep it short. Now they're mm-hmm. like, you know, an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. But we feel like our sweet spot is this hour and 20, hour and 30. Mm-hmm. But we were hitting 2 hours and we're like, it's too much. It's too much right. for discovery. Like, who's signing up for a 2 hour right, episode?
Absolutely.
But at the very beginning, they were like 40 minutes, 45 minutes. Yeah. So, we put it out there in the world. Again, Rain and I had followers already. So right. people always, if they're going to ask, how can I start a podcast from the ground up with no following? I couldn't really tell you how to do yeah, it. I have right. some ideas, but that wasn't our story. So we had that going for us. But that doesn't necessarily mean people are going to like it or they're going to come back. And we were hearing from people that were close to us, friends and family, but also strangers. I mean, right after the first episode of, like, you girls really have something here. I yeah. love this. People were leaving yeah. reviews on iTunes and back when we used to read them before they took a turn. But it just, we did feel that
right.
in our gut. I, like, joke that we were in Miami, like, before the second episode. We'd done one episode. We had the second one on deck, but we were like, girls gotta eat in Miami. Like we're so big deal. Like, I think, like, we really did feel it.
Yeah.
And then I feel like when we got representation, WME reached out to us right. in July. That was when Amazing. We were like, this is – that felt like the real thing of, like, we're going to be repped. Yeah. We have the eyes of these people on us.
Well, the chemistry is so important as well. And I know you're obviously just saying, like, looking back at obviously, like, your past engagement photos and, like, thinking, like, I can't remember a life where it wasn't with Ashley. It is a different type of
– yeah, literally. That's how people about their children.
Yeah, literally. But, like, it is a different type of relationship. I mean, I would feel that way about, I don't know, my managing director at my business, like, uh-huh. all of these things that are, like, partnerships. And it's like, I feel so passionate about female friendships. Like, I think female friendships are genuinely, like, the best thing in the world. Like,
we do too. And I think part of vetting each other was, what does the rest of their life look like? Do mm-hmm. they have friends? Is family important to this mm-hmm. person? And everybody that's listened to the show for 4.5 years has been along for the ride of our whole friendship, pretty much. And
right.
it's been so fun because so many – she told me a story yesterday that I'd never heard before because we didn't grow up together. We didn't go to college together. We don't have a history together. So we were learning so much about each other through the show. But female friendship is really one of the – hottest topics that we cover. People mm-hmm. love, you know, can I grow apart and come back to somebody? Mm-hmm. This is a really toxic friendship in my life. How do I mm-hmm. walk away from it? I don't have any friends, and how do I make them? And those have been some of our really most popular episodes. And female friendship is the most important thing in the world yeah. to me. And I've had mm-hmm. relationships come and go, but, like, that is the anchor in my life.
I mean, it's truly, like, I have a joke that I get it from my mom. Like, it's the thing that I truly feel like is the thing that I am the best at is these female friendships. And it's always been like that.
I feel like I didn't necessarily, because I like moved schools a lot. Like, I was definitely mm-hmm. like had, you know, would be really happy, like, making new friends and it not necessarily being about, like, the length of friendship and stuff. Yeah. But I would say that, like, as I've grown up, female friendships have genuinely, like, every single year, like, life has taught me, like, just how important they yeah. are and just how, like, without fail, they will make you feel better than, like, any single relationship, any, like, genuinely, like, I honestly, I feel like I could be, like, the biggest, like, spokesperson for it.
Yes.
But just, I think it is so important. And I think, like, trying to develop that and, like, in a world where we're often told that we kind of, like, need to be in a romantic relationship to kind of be, like, valued or have that love or have that, like, support, being able to kind of create those support systems, I think, is, like, so, so, so important and
Absolutely.
So valuable.
I feel like Ashley and I do this show about dating and sex and relationships, but we always say the number one takeaway should be that you build a life you're excited about, and then mm-hmm. the relationship's, like, the cherry on top. Like, we are so close with our families and our friends, and we really encourage people to like have a job that's exciting to you, or have no job if that's exciting to you, and have hobbies, and like how nice is it to find a partner that adds to your life.
Right.
And I love to date people that they have like all these friends I can be introduced to and hobbies that can teach me about, not like camping or anything like that, but like other hobbies.
Inside ones.
And
indoor activities.
I think it's so nice to also like people say like I'm so lonely, and if you are, I would suggest maybe if like the dating stuff is depressing, you find other stuff and you'll feel less lonely. Mm. And the more you say yes and the more you go out, the more people you'll meet.
I think that because the easiest way to meet new people, I would say probably is dating. We're kind of taught that we can like meet that many new people who we might be romantically involved with, but not really taught that about friendship. Like it seemed like when you're lonely, it's like, oh, maybe you should meet someone. And it's also like, actually knowing that probably comes and goes probably a lot more than, you know, why do we see it in a way where that's the way you can meet new people as an adult rather than actually, you know, we all develop friendships, but like that should be so much more of a concentration, I feel.
I totally agree. I mean, I guess if someone said like, I'm lonely, I'd wonder why. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if someone said to me, I don't have a lot of friends and I don't have a romantic partner, I'd be like, let's focus on the friends before we even go down this road of a romantic partner, because then what you're going to do is latch onto that person, and then you're not as actually a desirable partner if that's all you have is them. So, I mean, we've done episodes on how to make friends, and it doesn't come as easily to everybody, and we totally understand that, but I don't know. I don't think there's many types of people out there in the world that can't make friends. I mean, the exceptions of just, I don't know, crazy narcissist sociopaths, but even they have friends. So I think it's not, like I say that in a hopeful way, but I think it's so important.
And so to people who like would listen and think, yeah, agree, female friendships, amazing, I don't have them. I know you've obviously done a huge amount of episodes on them and obviously like main advice, go and listen to them. But what would be your like key advice having met each other, not, you know, through school, not through kind of that?
I mean, I think everybody is different. I'd have to, with advice, because we can give like general cliche advice, like say yes to more things, like to go out on a limb, you know, those are, and I strongly stand by that. Take a class or of some sort, start an intramural sport, like whatever it is. But some people are just really shy and introverted. And then some people don't know how to like follow up with a friend, you know, like Rain and I could have gone on that trip and never talked again.
Right. True.
So sometimes it's a matter of like, are you insecure about someone liking you? You know, like shoot them a DM, like send them a compliment, like see how, I don't know, Raina can speak on this.
I do like the advice of saying yes to everything, because I think that it does just open doors and you'll meet more people. And it's not that fun. You're going to end up going to shit you hate, and you're going to end up being around people you don't like. But at the end of that, you hopefully will meet more people. And I was thinking the other day, like this girl messaged me yesterday. She is a good friend of a bunch of our good friends. She's thinking of getting a breast reduction. She was like, would you mind? Because I've had one. And she said, would you mind getting a drink with me? I'd love to just talk to you about this. And I think my friends are great, and I think most of the friends they would pick are going to be great too. And so I said yes, for sure. And like, this will be a new friend now. And it's not the most fun thing in the world. Yeah, would I rather be on my couch not hanging out with a stranger? Sure. But if your complaint, not her in particular, but if your main complaint is I feel lonely and I don't have friends, then you do have to go do these things.
And there was this like really interesting article a few years ago, which was about the joy of like canceling and like flaking on things, like that like instant kind of like dopamine hit you get from, you're just like at the end of the day and you're like, I could cancel, like as in like I'm not gonna be arrested, like maybe it's not the best thing, but like we're not gonna die, and like that like small dopamine hit, but then actually afterwards that kind of like you're like, another evening where I've like decided like against doing something that could be really good for me. And that's not to say that like canceling for your mental health, and also sometimes because you're just shot and like all of that is
really
important.
Like burnout,
But there are so many times as well, like I can be so guilty of it when it's like, or I definitely used to be, and now I'm trying to be a lot more conscious of it, where it's actually like, okay, fine, I don't currently want to go to this because I want to literally mindlessly scroll on my phone and like watch some reality TV. But like, will it make me feel better? And could it be something that I would really enjoy? And like, if it's not, could I leave within half an hour? Yes.
Yeah. What if you meet somebody really cool there? Her and I are going to this event later, and it's not my dream to work all day long and then run to an event, but like you might meet somebody cool and like maybe they can help you professionally. Maybe they have a brother that's really hot. Like you never know who you're going to meet. It's not always that fun. It's Ashley and I work really hard. Everybody works really hard. I don't want to get dressed and go to an event at 6 o'clock, but we've been saying yes to more stuff lately. And like, I've really enjoyed it very much.
Yeah. And I again, I always want to validate this doesn't come naturally to everybody. It's not easy. I feel like the strongest talent that I have is making friends. But it's not so easy for someone to just start up a conversation or follow up with with a text or so. But I think if things, there's a lot to be said for doing things in your life that scare you a little, that don't come naturally in the first place. So you can even approach it like that. Like people say, like, do something that scares you every day. I don't think you need to do that. That's stressful.
Life's scary enough. Like, I don't want to be putting myself in
scrolling the internet, that's fucking scary. Yeah. Looking on Twitter.
My comments? Terrifying.
Yeah. reading the comments. Exactly. I do something every day that scares me.
Look at yourself without a filter.
Yeah. Take a photo with your front-facing camera. But it's like if it gives you a little bit of anxiety and stress, it those things lead to growth as well. So
short-term discomfort for like long-term gains. Like you'll have to do this forever.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to do all the things that scare you. Just like 50% of them.
Yeah. Like I don't need any more friends. I'm tapped out. So I feel fine canceling them.
I do not have a problem with this.
I have five groups of friends that I like literally plan trips with. Right. Like I'm all set on the friend groups.
Yeah. No, I completely get that. I want to talk about the beginning of Girls Gotta Eat and the fact that it was kind of way before its time, I'd say, in terms of like now, I think, you know, with TikTok and everything and with like people happily being a lot less kind of quote unquote polished in terms of like the way you come across and being very like, we only talk about the things within this, but not the things out of this. Obviously, Girls Gotta Eat I would say no boundaries. Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I feel like growing up, I was...
Don't get her started on boundaries.
I know. That's my dopamine hit.
She'll start plugging books.
Like, talk about boundaries.
No. I was always like the girl growing up that like said this crazy shit. And people were like, wait, what? And I was...
That's still who I am. But now I get paid for it. No, I always felt like insecure because I was always that girl that was like, what's going to come out of her mouth next? Mm. And it wasn't so crazy to me. I grew up in a sex positive environment. Yeah. I was popular and well-liked, and I felt empowered to, like, talk about what I wanted. I felt as confident as anybody feels in high school. I felt confident enough. And then, you know, you harness it a little bit more, and I think that I have just been able to, not have a lot of boundaries with what I say and own the fact that I don't have them. It doesn't make me sloppy or loose or crazy. It's just that's who I am, and I'm going to talk about whatever I want to talk about. And Ashley's like that, too. There's no – I mean, her and I, we hold secrets of other people's. We're not going to talk about other people's shit, but our shit is fully on the table.
Yeah, I think however you grow up and where you're taught that you have value. I mean, for me, I feel like I learned at an early age that making people laugh was valuable. Right. It made me well-liked and I wasn't judged by my family or people around me. So, and then going to college in the South, I was like the kind of the crazier and funnier I am, the cooler I am. Right. And I'm the one that's like talking so crazy about sex and everything with people that are maybe a little more reserved in the South. So it just, I always felt like that it was valuable to be so open and humorous and talk about sex. Like, it only brought me more success in terms of being liked, job, all the things. Like, I had blogs before we started this where I was just so open and always sharing these, like, crazy stories, sex stories, drunk stories, whatever it is. So, to me, it was like, I just kept, I don't know what the word, it kept encouraging me to do more. There was never a drawback.
You were rewarded for it.
For me.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, which I think is so interesting because I think that like, I've always been the same. Like, I would say that not that I hold back online, but I'm definitely like I say some wild shit. Mm. And like, that's like how I am. It's how I make friends. It's how I relate to people. It's part of the reason I wanted to have a podcast, because I was like, even if I'm sitting here with a really serious business person, I don't relate to people on a serious level. That's not how I like get to talk to people or get to know people. I like to break down their boundaries and kind of just be like, break down their boundaries. I like to make them feel uncomfortable.
We're the ones in the corner with somebody talking about shit. You're like, how do they even get here? I hate small talk so much in a party with strangers. I don't care about your life that much. I want to hear about like all the problems in your relationship.
Right. That's how we bond as women. Like we all are, I mean, most of us are doing this. We're having sex, we're dating, or we're struggling with this thing. So it's like, that's how we That's what I bond with other women, is like talking about this stuff.
And as a result of that, do you find that, obviously you guys have been really successful, do you find that there have been points where you've been taken less seriously because the subject matter is sex?
I don't give a fuck. I'm like, we do so well. We're so successful. Like, I'm like, shame me for talking about sex. We have built this empire based on it. Like, I don't care. Like, who cares? Like, it just doesn't, we're all having sex. Yeah. If you're bothered by it, it sounds like you aren't having sex, you know? So I don't care. I've never felt judged or not taken seriously. Like, I guess there are people who don't take me seriously, who would never date me. I'm like, I don't know, yeah, man. Worked out pretty well.
And it's also probably a two-way street. Like, we probably don't. I think we have so much, like, fixation, or at least as women, we're definitely taught to, like, have this fixation kind of, like, on what people think of us, how likable we are, and also, like, how we, you know, like, we want people to like us. It might be romantically or, like, obviously gross generalization, but, like, I feel like I've grown up, like, wanting people to like me, whether it is, like, men or, like, women, like, whatever it might be. And those things that might take away from that, it's really easy to be able to be like, oh, should maybe tone that down a bit. But then actually, even especially like on the men's side, like, if someone doesn't like you, it's unlikely that you share the same values. So, well, like, why would you want to be?
Yes.
It doesn't serve you to want to be
right.
Liked
this is your shit, not mine. I don't like all the comments the second I have a stand-up clip that starts to pick up on TikTok.
Right.
So I'll read this comments for until this happens, and then I just stop looking because it's a bunch of men, a bunch of incels. They're like, all female comics do is talk about sex. It's like, oh my God. First of all, not true.
Yeah.
This is just one clip of all the material that of the 90 minutes of like good material that I'm working with right now. It's just, it's so annoying. So I'm not like bothered or offended. Right. I'm just like, you fucking suck. Why are you
such an
so
easy out?
Triggered by women talking about sex in the first place? Mm. Like, this is a you issue, and just don't come to my shows then. Like,
yeah.
It's just, I'm always like, are men okay? Like, they're just like pounding away on their keyboard. Like, all women comics do is talk about sex. It's just like, it makes me feel crazy sometimes, but I'm not, like, upset about it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, get some help.
If you don't take us seriously, I'm judging you. I think it's pretty
silly. I
think
you have a bad sense of humor.
I think you have a bad sense of business, because we've built an empire on this and an incredible community. We've toured worldwide. And if you think what I'm doing is ridiculous or stupid, or you don't take me seriously, you are an idiot.
Right.
So I can't help you. And I don't feel bad about it. Some people grew up more conservative. That's fine. Yeah. Some people are not of our generation. Also fine. Religious reasons, whatever. Like, I don't judge other people for who they are unless they're harming other people.
Right.
Or you're fucking boring and you suck. But it's very rare that we've ever come across. I don't recall really ever feeling judged. Brands all want to work with us.
Yeah, we're talking to like a huge investor right now. Like, about the other people take us fucking seriously. Yeah. I've never really
But also
felt
numbers
it.
Don't like, as in like, people will always be able to do that. And that, like, the people are, I mean, tall poppy syndrome as is, like, if people are doing well, like, pulling that down, like, it makes sense to, like, feel uncomfortable about people who are doing better.
Yeah, and if you don't like me, you could just ignore me.
Oh,
I'm
that's
fine
so
with that
fine.
Too.
No, literally. But what drives me insane on social media is, it's like, you know that I haven't requested to add you to follow me. Like, as in, like,
I didn't show up.
Like,
I didn't show up at your work. You showed up at my work.
Well, it's so crazy because I don't know who you are, and you are dedicating a lot of energy into hating me. I find it flattering, but it's just like, Rain and I sometimes joke around. We're like, there's people like in these corners of the internet that spend so much time and energy talking about us. We don't know who you are.
Yeah,
it's just crazy to me.
Yeah,
you can so easily ignore. Like, I always say that I don't follow any of the Kardashians. I am wearing Good American Jeans today, but
I do pay them money, so, but I don't
I do
follow
actually
them.
Support them. And then under that, I have Skims. No, I'm just kidding. But this is Ivy Park. But I just, if Rain and I aren't famous enough that we're going to be on your TMZ, or like, if you just don't follow us and you don't listen to the podcast, we really cease to exist.
I would like to talk about the fact that you guys have both been, I don't know if we've both been open. I've definitely heard at least one of you being open online about not wanting to be parents.
Oh, yeah.
And being like, I don't care if you don't agree. Like, it doesn't make
well,
sense.
Well, our lives, and this is not an original thought, but our lives are not a judgment call on your life. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Things that are right for me in my socioeconomic position, in the area of the country I live in, the religion I grow, all those things, those are my decisions.
Right.
You can do whatever you want to do. I don't fucking care. Anyways, I'll let Ashley pop off about having not having kids.
No, it's I have never wanted children. I've never felt the urge. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, when I was very young, you just think that's what you're going to do. But right. in my adult life, I haven't. Default. Yeah. So, and I don't feel judged by my family or anybody I've ever really spoken to. Again, if like, that's their problem, not mine. But we did a full episode on this, and we did it with a lot of care and preparation because we just don't want to be so flippant to women who are struggling to right, have children or we love all of our moms. We love our moms for one, but we love all of our mom friends.
And, moms.
You know, I'm just like so excited to become an aunt. And it's not about hating kids or right. thinking it's stupid to want them. We'd have to, that has to happen to keep the earth going, but it's just not a choice that we want. And so I love talking about it and mm. I love normalizing it. And when we did that episode, the feedback was so incredibly positive. And the thing that I didn't totally see coming was the messages that we got from mothers.
Right.
And mothers who are very happily mothers that are like, the shit isn't for everyone.
Right.
And you really have to want it to dedicate your life to these children. And then also some mothers who had like regret that they had kids. Right. And I those like hit us so hard, mm-hmm. but people opened up to us. They shared things with us. They'd never told anybody. And, you know, we just, that impacted me the most.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, women who shared our same stance, who were like, thank you for talking about this. I feel so judged that I don't want children. And so that's kind of a large part of what we do is just, you know, normalizing that conversation.
Well, I would also say that like, I mean, I naively have not even questioned, like, whether I just, because I always wanted kids, like, when I was younger, mm-hmm. I have never questioned until probably, like, the last few years being like, but, like, what does it mean to have a child and, like, do I actually want that? Or is yes. it that, like, the default in my head is, like, I'll get to this age and then I'll decide yeah. to have kids and then mm-hmm. I'll take them to school and then I'll retire and then I'll, like, as in, like, right. that's just made sense. And so it hasn't, like, there's been no critical thinking. Like, the brain has not been engaged. And, like, I still think that I would like to have kids, but it's, like, never even crossed my mind that that would not be the case. And I find yeah. that so insane because I would consider myself quite, like, a critical thinking person uh-huh. and someone who would think about, like, everything they would want to do and all of that. And that has just been like fast track. I'm trying to have children. There is no fast tracking in the pregnancy side in terms of that's the way my life stages will look. And I just think when we think about that, like, that is fucking insane. Like, the fact yes. that that's the default.
I have always thought I would have children growing up, and that I describe it exactly
during the podcast. You were like, I'll have kids alone, I don't yeah. care.
I thought of it exactly as you had. I thought it was a foregone conclusion, and I mm-hmm. never thought, okay, let's hit the pause button, let's think what day-to-day looks like in order to be the kind of parent that I had, you know, mm-hmm. in order to have the parents that dedicated their whole lives to me, that were right. every weekend at the Little League field. My dad took us to, like, the library for fun.
Right.
I never thought, like, what does that look like day to day for me? It just was a foregone conclusion. And as I got older and I started hearing other women talk about this, I never heard a woman say, like, yeah, I just don't want it.
Yeah.
It's just not for me. Like, really until I met Ashley. And then I started thinking, like, I don't know if I see this in my life. And I'm still not like 100% off. I would say if somebody dated me today, mm-hmm. I would have them date me assuming I do not ever want to have mm-hmm. children. I do not want somebody to go into a relationship with me today thinking maybe she will change her mind. You should date me as though I do not want children. Right. There's some chance in this world that I'm like bored and want like something to do. But I it's always crazy when people say like if it happens, it happens. And I'm like, but the most important yeah. decision in your life you're going right. to base on – if it happens, it happens.
Well, I feel for women, A, the most, that want children and are struggling to have them, or of they course. Want to have them with a partner and they don't have a partner. So that, first of all, is who I really, my heart goes out to the most. Secondly, is the women that don't know, you know, because, and Kate Kennedy is a friend of ours and a podcaster that speaks about this, of like the decision-making process. And because I think if you're really a critical thinker and you're a you really got to want kids so badly because right. you do have to dedicate your life to them.
Right.
So that's where, you know, regret and guilt and postpartum comes in when it wasn't the decision that you maybe should have made. And again, I can't speak on this as a professional, but I feel for women that struggle with the decision. I'm like, I thought I did, but now I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And should I, shouldn't I? Or I'm getting to the age where I need to make this decision or my partner wants them. And so yeah. there, it's a lot of people that know for sure that don't want them, like me, and then women that know for absolutely sure that they do kind of have it easier.
Right. And I think there's also like that, yeah, it's the middle ground that's tough, but it's also like the fact that it's never presented as a decision. It's presented as a default that you have to opt out of, which is like so strange. Because if you think of like, okay, the amount childcare costs, like, don't get me wrong, I, like, as I've said, like, I still think that I do want kids, like, and like, that's just been, you know, something that's like still in my mind. But it's also like the fact that that just hasn't even been like thought about. I think it also is maybe because we're probably in like one of the first generations that even sees that as a consideration, because you would also be able to access everything the same if you didn't like get married, have kids, all of that, course. In terms of like opening a bank account, owning property, like all of these things. Like, it wasn't that long ago that women literally could not do that single, or the tax implications were far worse, and in which case, like, it wouldn't make sense.
It's been, I think, a newer thing that your life can have value without children. And it's just, look at what people can do today that's just outside of being a mother. Of course, being a mother is really important. We're obsessed with our mothers. But it's been hard to have those conversations for a lot of women with their friend circle, with their friends that want kids so badly, with their friends that do have children, with their own mothers. And when I talked to my mom about not wanting kids, it didn't go great. Right. And my mom supports everything that I do. She doesn't care. But even the way that I formulated the conversation, I think it insulted her. I think it was just, you know, that I was rejecting the choices that she made and the sacrifices that she made. And that, you know, I think my life had more meaning outside of just having children or something. And I really I think about that conversation a lot and how I would change that conversation.
Right.
Because I just think those type of conversations are really tough, especially with your own parents.
Well, my mom, I thought about this recently. My mom has children. She's me and my brother. But three of her best friends, like in her inner circle, my mom has a million friends. That's where I got it from. But three of them don't have children, which is kind of for her. I mean, my mom's 70. So kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I think about that these 70-year-old women to have these childless by choice lives. Two are married, one's married, then she remarried, whatever. But it is kind of crazy to me that that generation, that those are the friends that my mom chose too. So she never once threw me any shade.
But I would say that I actually am not selfless. Like, as in, I'm really not. And I actually have to be, like, I'm a very independent person, and therefore I have to be quite selfish to maintain, like, my happy, which includes me just, like, spending a lot of time alone and doing things that make me happy. And I can do that, and I've never thought, like, I could potentially do that for the rest of my life. Like, as in,
it feels good.
Actually quite, it's quite pleasing.
Sometimes I think about making a purchase that is so stupid and no one needs it, and then I'm like, oh right, I'm the only person I have to pay for.
Well, you know, we got this.
No one's burdened. It's only me.
I want to say that the most impactful message that made me so emotional after this was, I think on our episode I said, like, obviously my fear is like dying alone. You know what I mean? Which it just, no one by your bedside. Obviously, I watched my mom be with her mom as she died, and I was there too. You know, the whole family. But this woman wrote us in. I feel like I can't get through this without tearing up. She wrote us in. She said, I'm a hospice nurse. I watch people die all day long. And she was like, I've seen women that have chosen not to have children, and they die surrounded by like their loved ones and like their nieces and nephews. And she was like, you and Raina are going to be fine. And it hit me so hard that she sent that message and the meaning behind it. And I always want to say that, like, you will end your life how you have built your life and how you have chosen.
Which is so true, and it's so interesting that we think that, like, the only love we deserve when we would be dying is people who we've given our entire life to. Like, I think that's quite problematic as well. Like, the fact that, especially we as women, it's like, I'm not sure how many men think if I don't have kids, I'll die alone. Like,
as in, I've never heard a man say that ever.
Like, as in, like, maybe that's just, but I'd say probably, like, generalization, but I'd say probably less so thinking that. And it's like, how do we feel like we probably only deserve to die with someone by our bedside if, like, we've literally given, like, our bodies, our, like, however many years of our life, all of our money, like, all of this
stuff.
I'm
not making decisions for 50 years of my life to, like, have a comfortable 2 years at the end. And listen, ask me again at the end. I don't know how I'm going to feel, but I don't think I'm going to feel like that. I love the way that you said that. Like, I have built a life where I'm surrounded by a lot of people. I have great family relationships, and it's just probably not going to happen that I'll be alone. And I will be okay for the next 50 years in the meantime.
But also, there's no guarantees that those kids that you've dedicated your whole life to will be by your side either. Like, there's just no guarantees in life. You would hope, but you never know. They could be little assholes that just, they're like, we don't care.
I was dating someone. Well, I was sleeping with somebody in my building from Australia.
It's like, dude, you say one thing and then it's like, a clarification.
Walk it back. Like, during that relationship, she just has one night stands. No, I was sleeping with this guy in my building and he's from Australia. And he said, we were talking about having kids and he was like, I see my parents twice a year. Like, yeah. They dedicated their whole lives to me, right. All of their money, and I see them two times a year. Like, do you think that it was worth it for them?
And I
was like, no, I've gotten to know you. I can tell you it's not worth it for them.
And also, like, as a parent, you have to be fine with that. Like, I think we always thought parenting was, like, by default, like, usually right, like, how someone would be, whereas your children can't feel like they owe you everything. They can very much feel like, you know, like, they want to love you and all of these things, but feeling like, oh, no, you need to do this because of this is actually, like, widely seen as not okay. Abusive, now.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Well,
I'll send you this. I think you would like it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I think this was from some internet thread. Maybe it was like on Reddit about being without children. And I sent it to you. And that woman, she was older. She was like, an older woman, maybe she was like in her 70s or
so. Yeah, she was much older.
And she was like, there's a bunch of different types of women. There's women that have chose not to have children. There's women. And one of the things that stuck out was like, was parents, I guess, that have had children and don't feel like they've gotten enough back from their from their kids. And I found it to be so impactful. And I mean, I sent to my mom. My mom chose to have kids. Like, she wasn't offended.
So
I just, I found it really impactful. And I like that the conversation is
No, I really, really like it. And I think you've done amazing things for it. And how's sleeping with someone in your building going?
It's over. I wouldn't really recommend sleeping with somebody in your building.
No, it's good until it's bad.
But it was fine. I mean, I try to not regret anything that like made me happy in the moment or that's a funny story. I mean,
yeah,
I told
so many
really funny jokes about this.
So many shows out of that content.
I mean, I wrote that.
It's an investment.
Yeah, the show was built on his dick. It was just endless. He has a girlfriend. I see them together all the time, and it wasn't like a serious relationship, so I don't care. He's just with somebody in the building to sleep with. I don't feel so flippant about all my relationships, but that one, yes.
Oh, yeah, that was meaningless.
I want to talk about, obviously, you guys go on tour a lot. You've talked about how, like, you're generally always doing shows around the country. I feel like not a thing in the UK because there's three cities.
As soon as possible, hopefully.
Yeah. Amazing. We can't wait. Everyone will be coming from this episode. I want to know what the craziest fan experience you've had at a, like, tour thing or anywhere.
So I just want to say our shows are my favorite thing in the world to do. Mm-hmm. It's just like we're just up there trying to make each other laugh. It is the wildest girls' night. It's so much fun. It's not just like the live podcast. Mm-hmm. It's like strippers and dancers.
At all. We don't record it. It's not a podcast.
Yeah,
like, there is a reason it's not going online.
We're just we're telling jokes. We bring guys up on stage. We do like some really crazy stuff. So that being said, what's your craziest fan experience? I was wondering what you're going to hit me with.
Well, the tour that we did in California at the beginning of this year was just crazy in so many ways. I met a guy at a show that I ended up sleeping with that night. We connected again. It was really great. A great like sexual experience. It was really fun to meet a guy at a show. That doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah,
right. We're like not the same as male comedians where women come and they're like, let's do this. So that was like a good positive experience. Mm-hmm. But also on that tour, we were in a city, I guess I'll keep this as like non-identifying as possible. And at the very end of the show, during like we do this little toast, and this guy runs up to the stage, and he puts on the stage this like little box, like an old, like antique jewelry box looking thing. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. And this guy's in my DMs. I know who he is. He's like a little stalker-ish, but I don't feel threatened. He's probably listening right now. And
hey.
He puts this thing on the stage and I was like, what is that? Oh my God. And our assistant grabbed it and she brings it back to the green room. And it was, I opened it, popped it open and there was a note. I feel like I
thought
I
it was
going to
be an engagement ring.
The note, the note was like, come over. I want to eat. Come over. I want to eat your ass tonight. And then there was his room key and like how to get to his hotel and the room keys.
Which it would be great for some guys, somebody who's been kind of a little weird with you. No.
No.
And I was, I was hanging out with a guy in that city already. Like, Rain and I had gone on the double date with these guys that, and
I
was like,
I'm gonna tell the story. Don't tell it.
Oh, sorry. And so I'm hanging out with this guy that he just, I have a picture of him holding it up. Like, it's funny. But it was, yeah, that was interesting to get room keys and come over. I want to eat your ass. I was
I'm
like,
assuming you didn't go.
I'm
over.
All set. Yeah. I'm good.
Thank you. No, thank you.
But then what, the next 2 nights later was like another show where that's where I met this guy. This girl brought her single guy friend to the show. He came up on stage. We flirted. We went to the back to the hotel. And that
oh,
was,
God, I love that.
It was incredible. Yeah.
I love that. And also shows, live yeah. meeting mm-hmm. for everyone else to see.
Oh, it was iconic. He was so
And
hot.
Then they get like the follow-up after story on the podcast.
We had our assistant like go get him because like after the show, like I had some girlfriends come into the green room and they were like, all the girls are surrounding him. And I was like, ugh, those disrespectful sluts. Don't get
yes,
and I was like, go get him. So she had to go get him and bring him into the green room. I was like, this is how athletes do it. Like, this is how, like, men
yeah,
get to win.
Literally how they're like, literally, I've had friends who, like, are at a undisclosed artist names concert.
Yeah.
And they'll, like,
yes,
be, like,
rock
the
stars.
Security will, like, come out to the front and they're like,
yes,
come here.
That's what we did.
Like, do you
want
to come to the green room?
And it would
incredible.
Be, like, yeah. It, like, turned me on to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
the same tour, the same like stretch
that was
of tours.
A good tour.
It was a good ass tour. So we just our shows are mostly females at the show and or the guys that come with their girlfriends.
Right.
So if there's like a single guy that's like tatted up looking hot, like yeah, they get swarmed. So mm-hmm. you've got to snatch them out.
So also a good dating location. What you're saying is like men buy tickets.
No, men don't buy tickets.
No, no,
really.
Men should buy tickets. Well, this is an instruction. They will get snapped up.
We don't like to send that messaging.
Okay.
But
we are taking it back.
No, 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 it's fine.
You
if
can pay
really
double
hot,
the price.
You just try to date us first, and then afterwards, think about submit a photo
send
of yourself.
Your photos
you're gonna
in.
Come. Let us know. But I had randomly. I had been following this guy on TikTok with millions of followers, and I thought he was so cute, and I kind of wanted to just get his attention. So mm-hmm. I reposted him on my Instagram story and tagged him, and he was like, "Get out of here! I'm such a fan of your show," and I was like. What? He's like a younger guy, lives in California. He's a guy in general, like straight guy. It's not our demo.
Yeah.
And he was just like, if you ever come out here, whatever, to do a show, let me know. And we were going there. So I had reached out and invited him. And I was like, do you have a single friend you want to come with? And we landed in their city. And him and his friend took us out to dinner. And the next day, we like our first date, we got tattoos. He bought me this boob tattoo. And he came to the show. And it was so fun. And we ended up spending like the whole week with them, like in different cities in California randomly. But that was really fun and like lasted for a little while. And I don't meet guys at shows so often. So to like have a fan and you invite them to the show and you bring them into the green room,
yeah,
I did feel like such a
that's
badass.
Such a good story. But also, that's a good marriage story. And why not getting married?
He's wonderful. He's like, we like adore him. He's so wonderful.
I was digging his friend too. It was the most fun double date of our life. Oh. And then the next day we went on separate dates with them. Raina went and like sat in this tattoo parlor. I took the ferry to Sausalito. we're very different.
Yeah,
Raina,
and we got like Mediterranean food. Raina and a styrofoam. I was like, that's my dream. I love it. We just like very cheap. Got tattoos, loved it. He is quite a bit younger than me, and
right.
he lives on the West Coast, and
right.
so it's just like that's not going to be my person. But
mm-hmm.
I do think there's space in your life to just have these experiences that you enjoy, mm-hmm. and not everything has to like go somewhere. Some like this is just like a buddy I'm not mine. I'll probably have for a long time. I really like him, and we like his friends, and it's just like a nice person to have in your life.
But Raina, I will tell you one thing. I'll make it short. Truly probably the best story is that we used to do live Bumble at our shows,
mm-hmm.
and we did live Bumble. This was in San Francisco. We just really get it in California. And we did live Bumble. Bottom line, we call this guy. This girl's on stage. We're live Bumbling for her. She matches with him on Bumble. Someone yells out in the audience, FaceTime him. We're like, okay. So we call him. We're like, why don't you come down here? He comes down. We bring him up on stage. We like hold the end of the show, wait for this fucking guy to show up. And he comes up on stage and he's like, what the fuck is actually happening? It was wild. They ended up not really they didn't go home together. They didn't hit it off. They split up at the end of the night. And then Raina ends up dating that guy for months.
No.
Yeah, it was this crazy thing. I mean, he was like in town by himself for the night. He was like in a hotel. And
that is insane.
We were just like, we'll pay for your drinks in your car if you want to come down here and try to fuck this girl. Like, and he just was like, yeah, okay. And he like got, it was like 10 o'clock at night. We held the show. It was so crazy. I was like, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Like, that's the coolest person I've ever met.
Right. So I was like, Raina, get in touch with him. Make sure you pay him back for the Uber. We promised. And then they started dating.
Yeah.
And then,
she did pay him back for the Uber.
She did. And then we go to the city where he lived. And then I then connected with his friend. This is how we do it. And we both kind of dated them through the summer. And then Raina and her guy broke up. So the guy was supposed to come visit me. And Raina was like, well, you're going to end it, right? I was like, of course, girl. I got you. So we had to do this like best friend double breakup. It was like so insane. He had a flight booked. I paid him back for the flight. I was like, yeah, this is over.
Oh my
this
God.
Was only because of Raina.
Have you found like dating a relationship's hard since the podcast has blown up?
People ask us that. Sorry.
No, no. I mean, dating's always hard. I mean, I don't. This is very. This is the title of my memoirs. I don't care. Like, I just. I don't know how to answer that. Like, I've met so many more guys. I date all the time. I have these fun sexual experiences. Like, we travel the world. I think dating in New York is tough no matter what. Mm-hmm. I think there's, like, data and statistics surrounding this and why it's tough for women, especially women that are, like,
probably
older,
successful.
Probably
double the amount of women to men.
It's not just women to men, but, like, educated women to educated men and things like that.
Your age and all kinds of things. So, and then I don't think I'm everyone's cup of tea. I don't think that what we do for a living is attractive to some men, but it is to others. So it's like, I'm not going to stop doing what we're doing.
And it is to the ones that you'd want to date.
Yeah. So it just doesn't, I don't think about it. Like, I've kept been doing this for so many years. Like, I haven't had a serious relationship, but I've dated so much. I've slept with so many people. I'm not, like, having a hard time meeting guys.
Right.
I do want a relationship. That would be great. I don't feel like I have much to give in terms of time and energy right now. But it's a tough question to answer because, yeah, I think the intimidation factor becomes greater with the more success that we get and the how open we are. I think, of course, some guys are scared. We would talk about them on the podcast, but those aren't guys that we would probably be with in the first place. So very multi-layered question. I do hope I find somebody that accepts me for everything that I do and everything I am, and I'm not going to change.
Yeah, but you're not going to change it.
What we're doing because I've never been happier.
Of course. It's just like, and I think it's so interesting that we would ever consider the other way. Like, I think that a lot of the conversation around, like, when you go on a first date with someone, it's like, oh, I wonder if they'll like me. I wonder if, like, all of this. Like, it's always that way round rather than kind of being like,
do I like that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is so insane because it's also like, why would you – okay, so say, like, you managed to, like, quote-unquote trick someone into liking you based on, like, them be based on being
right,
the
like,
version
how long
of
are we
them.
Doing this?
Literally, like, based on being the version that they'd like. Totally. So maybe you're less, like – outspoken, maybe you're less, like, you talk about your work less or money less or sex less, any of these things. Like, how long are we acting for?
What's
like
the plan?
I'm uncomfortable.
What's the point of this?
This and is people, a lot of effort.
People always want to know what is it like to date for me and her, because we talk about sex and dating relationships on the show, but I'm always like, what's the alternative? Girl Scout Eats the most important thing I've ever done in my life. It is my favorite thing I've ever done in my life. It means more to me than any person will ever mean to me, relationship wise. So what am I gonna not do it? And I feel like most of the people listen, all my relationships that have ended while we've had the podcast are not because of the podcast.
Right.
They're because of my personality. And
they're because of me. I made her break
they're
up with them.
They're because of Ashley, actually. It's not because I'm a workaholic or, you know, I'm so crazy and I talk about our sex life. You know, I feel like most of the people that I have dated throughout this time have really gotten a kick out of listening to me talk about them on the show and have been really open to me discussing our lives. And I'm not going to say anything to embarrass anybody. If I'm dating somebody, I assume that their sister is listening and their friends and their coworkers. And I have tact and class and I can hold it together. But it hasn't stopped us from having relationships. It's stopped certain people from dating us probably, but that's not my problem. I don't know those people.
It's a good filtering service, I find. Like, I feel like that's particularly, like, you want a free filtering service to see who's right and who's not right.
I went on a date, 2 weeks ago with this guy who came with a friend to our show. And we play Fuck, Marry, Kill with, like, random guys in the audience. Yeah. And he came up and he, like, choked me and picked me up. And I was like, oof.
Yeah, like, I like a guy that sees what I do and then still wants to date me, hang out with me. And listen, our bar is high.
Right.
It's so high. I love my life. I love spending time with myself. I have so many friends, family, this job that consumes our life. Like, someone needs to add to my life. And I really want somebody that isn't too needy. Like, I want someone that's living the same type of life as me. I don't need to see them all the time. If they can live on the West Coast, it's totally fine. So that's part of it too. It's not this like willing to settle type of thing. I don't want children. I don't really care about getting married. So it's like, I always think of this this comedian we love. Her name is Marie Faustin. She's so funny. You can follow her on TikTok, Instagram, Reezy with a bunch of E's is her handle. And she's like, if I'm still single at 40, the bar is even higher.
Right.
Like, and I love that take of like, no, it doesn't get lower. It doesn't get desperate. It actually gets higher because someone needs to add to your already very full life.
Right. And I think that what's interesting is like there was definitely a stage of my career where like the more and more I was like growing online, the more and more I was like, when I'm single, this is literally like Instagram's everyone's dating profile. Like it is like it's your fucking portfolio. Like it's literally like, this is who I am. This is what I look like all of these things. And even more so if you are doing your career online. And I remember I went through this phase of being like, oh, I've got to make sure like I post this type of thing and this type of thing. And then it's like, who am I curating this for? Because also like the only person I should be curating this for is like myself. Mm-hmm. If there's any like version of myself that is being portrayed that is inaccurate to actually what I am, then like what is the end goal here? Like where, like, fine, okay, there might be someone who generally, you know, wouldn't like someone who's X, Y, and Z, and then they're like, they don't think I'm like that, and therefore it's great, and therefore they're like really excited and we date and all of that. But it's like, but I'm not like that. Like, as in like at the end. And I think as women, we really think of it in the other way a lot of the time. And it's kind of like, or at least I know a lot of people who do, where it's kind of just like, the more you are, the more you are going to attract the person who wants that.
And I think 100%. That her and I are, my brother says the number one question he gets about us is, are they really like that in person? Or is this a show, or is this who they are? And I mean, I can't speak for myself. I think I'm incredibly authentic. But like, if you meet Ashley, she is exactly who you see on the internet, on our show. This is exactly what our friendship is like.
Yeah.
We just are like this. You know, how long can you string people along not being who you are? I mean, I think twice about offending people, of course, but other than that, this is what it is. What you see is what you get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. We're gonna go to Instagram questions.
Okay.
Ooh, how to get out of toxic jealous mindsets when you're seeing someone?
Number one to me is like, let's identify, why do we feel like this? Right. Is it because you're always jealous and you've been cheated on before? Or is it because this person is doing something to really make you feel jealous and uncomfortable and not secure? And then, you know, the paths sort of split, and it's like, how do I deal with this? If you're dating somebody you don't trust, I would not date that person. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to feel better. But if you are just bringing in insecurities from the past, you really can tell. Like, people that are going to cheat on you are going to find a way to cheat on you.
Right.
Nagging them to not do it, or
people
being like, why'd you look at that girl?
Families. Like, of they're going to be able to do it if they want to do
And my point, too, is like, yes, of course, like Raina said, like, if you feel insecure with somebody for a real reason, you know, but if it's in your head, that's a different story with someone who is being faithful.
Right. And I think probably one of the, like, differentiators is probably the fact that like if you feel jealous with everyone, or like you feel like you need to be like that with everyone, then it's probably you. If it's the other way around, then it's probably the person. And I would also say that that was one of the first, like, reading about, like, sounds like probably will mostly be anxious attachment style, like to kind of act that way, as in I'm not saying all anxious attachment styles at all, but like it sounds like a part of it. And also like understanding what types of partners are good for you, because like sometimes you are just the type of person who just needs someone who is very openly reassuring and like secure and like all of these things.
Well, I talk about in the book that, you know, you can find the securest attached style person that finds somebody who's avoidant that like breaks that person down and makes you really anxious. So are you with a partner that makes you feel secure?
So I think short answer is read Attached,
right?
If you have it.
Yeah.
And then we have a great episode with Andrew Huberman about it too, where we talked about, I think the main takeaway from that was, if you are anxious, can you even be with an avoidant person? And I really like the way he answered it. And it's kind of based on like, if they're able to offer you consistency in some way. So if you're this person asking this and you haven't even read Attached, that's where to start.
That's a great idea.
I love that. How to deal with having a higher sex drive than your partner. Do you think you can be with people who have a completely different sex drive?
Do I think that it can work out? Mm. I mean, I think everybody has a different answer to that. For me, it would be very difficult. Yeah. Sex ranks incredibly high. I have my last boyfriend, he's a comedian, does a joke on stage about how I had the highest sex drive. Like, how did he formulate it? She was more sexually aggressive than anybody I've ever dated. Something like that. I want to have phone sex. I want to be sexting. I want pictures. We had sex like 3 times a day.
My mom heard ready to have phone sex on my brother's wedding weekend.
Oh my God. Tell the story, please.
That's it.
That's the story. And I came down the next morning and like, I was like, let me just see if anybody's going to say anything. No one said anything at first. Like, Ashley's family will make fun of you. So no one said anything to me at first. And then everybody got downstairs and she brought it up.
I was like, I'm disrespected this family right
she
now.
He said I was more hypersexual than anybody's ever okay. did. But to really answer the question, it would be really hard for me. Sex is really important to me. And like fun, creative, different sex is really important to me. I think it's tough to date somebody that's a different sex drive than you. And I think that for women, it can leave you feeling not desired. It can feel, you know, sex is a way to express love and closeness. And I think that if you're not getting what you want from your partner, it can feel really bad. Can it work out? Sure. I think that, you know, there's always therapy. There's always like, let's try this thing I heard on this podcast. Let's bring this thing into our relationship. Why aren't we having sex? We had this great guest on our show, and Ian Kerner, who's a psychotherapist, and he talks about responsive desire. Versus spontaneous desire, and spontaneous being like when you're in the beginning of a relationship and everything turns you on about this person. You just want to fuck all the time, versus responsive, which means you have to work on it a little more. You have to respond to something at some point. And we're not going to always be in this like spontaneous desire phase with people. So you do have to work on it.
Well, to me, this is like, are we talking about a relationship that they've been in a relationship for a while where the sex used to be good, or are we brand new into it? So, I mean, depends on, there's so many factors. Read all Ian Kerner's books for this and listen to him wherever you can. On our show, we've had him on twice. But if it's a long-term relationship, sex changes. So that's a whole different animal than someone who just doesn't care about sex as much as you at the beginning. So if I'm with somebody that's just, they just don't care that much, like it's like, I don't think that's, I'm probably not going to continue down that road, but it's so many different factors could go into just your, what you're dealing with hormonally and whatever it is later down the road. And that's when there's like so many resources out there.
For sure. I also love how every question, considering the fact that the like critics of talking about sex will be very much like, oh, it's not a serious topic. Every single question's had a book in it to read, which I really love.
I mean, I could show you like books like Emily Nagoski is another one. I mean, we could go all day. Also, if you're with a partner that like shames you for wanting to like be a certain way, I dated somebody that was just from the South. He just was more conservative, and I was trying to talk about different.
I can't imagine that working.
Just something I was trying to talk to him about, and he was like, "I don't know why we have to talk about this." And I was just like, "Okay, this is not for many reasons, but like not a match for me. If you're gonna like shame me for wanting to talk about this stuff, that's silly."
Right. How does someone find someone to be in a relationship with when dating apps are really the only way of meeting new people?
Well, I disagree with that. So. No shade to that person. Raina's never done apps ever.
Right.
And I've never even gone on a second date from an app. I've been on all the first dates. I've been on so many. And any guy that I've had anything long lasting with is someone I met in the wild.
Right.
So we've, again, done apps, not to direct everybody to our podcast, but we've done episodes on this, how to meet people in the wild. And we also have had, we had a great guest on, John Berger, who has written 2 books, and he talks about thinking about people you already know. Is there someone you run into at the coffee shop in the morning? Is your friend's cousin available? Right. You know, like my brother set me up with somebody one time, like who was like a friend of a friend kind of thing. So I like that. I like just taking the mindset out of it that it all relies on dating apps, because it's not true.
I mean, you got to go out. So, you know, people aren't going to find, they're not going to break your door down and find you on the couch. So if you don't want to leave your house to meet somebody, you probably have to go on dating apps, or there's so much to be said about asking your friends to please set you up. We did a whole episode about that too. And
DMing somebody.
I mean, literally just slide into somebody's DMs and just be like, hey, you're cute. I think that it's so easy to strike up a conversation at a bar. Hey, what's good here? What drinks are good here?
Yeah, we did. I mean, this is not easy for everybody. I want to validate that also. Matthew Hussey is also a great person that talks about how to even meet someone in a bar.
Because
that's not, I mean, I've met guys doing stand-up. Not everybody's out here on these comedy streets. Like, it's...
You gotta tell the story about when we sent that guy that thing. Your idea. You gotta tell the story.
Oh, this guy walked into this restaurant. I was like, Raina, that's your exact type. I couldn't have, like, designed a better man. And mm-hmm. we were like, dining on the kind of the indoor-outdoor patio. And then he went and sat, and we sent him over one cookie. Because you never know if people drink these days. And...
I'm obsessed. He was just like a group of guys.
Yeah.
Ashley's like, just send one cookie.
Well, they have these amazing cookies. That's their only dessert at this place. And
it's just for you.
Like, the general manager was hovering around our table. He was being so funny. And so he sent it over, and then he reported back. He was like, he wants you to go share the cookie with him. So Raina strutted right over. And just, yeah, there's this fear of rejection, but what's the alternative?
But also with everything else, like, you have to practice. Like, it's very much like the men pursuing the girls until it gets to it. Like, I'd say from what I've heard, there's a lot more forwardness in the US from women than there is from in the UK. And I would say that should change in the UK. Like, yeah. As in, like, it yeah. just, like, what's the worst that can happen going
men
up to someone
forward
and being
in the
like,
UK. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, again, short answer on this one, John Berger's book, there's a whole, like, challenge of getting off the apps. So it's, like, there's, like, I don't know. I forget how it's structured. I didn't actually do the full challenge, but he's great.
Oh, great.
But there's literally, like, how like, to stop up. Doing the apps. Here's how to get set, all the ways that he does it.
That.
And then meeting people in the wild with, like, Matthew Hussey is great at, like, walking you through it. Like, from step one of, like, eye contact. Like, it's how do we even get close to someone proximity-wise. Yeah, we went to this happy hour in this
at the Ned,
at the Ned in London.
Oh, yes.
Raina was making out with somebody at 6 p.m. 10 minutes after meeting them.
Walked in from work half an hour before.
I've taken one sip of my drink. She's making out. It was 6 o'clock.
And then his friend was like, I want to eat your butt. Like, are you staying here? And then I was like making eyes with this other guy. And we like went to go to like the vault downstairs. And then that guy was like, I've been staring at you. I've been seeing you stare at me. It was wild.
It was three guys within, 20 minutes. And I was like, Raina, are you good? Like, you should move here for sure.
Suddenly she's got a one-way flight.
The one I made out with, I couldn't understand a word that came out of his mouth.
Was he British?
It was a thick accent.
But it's also loud there. Like, I
really loud.
Any
happy
sort
hour.
Of thicker.
Oh, I thought you meant the men.
Oh, like when there's music, there's a live band there. So
I know exactly. I can
accent,
envision the setting.
I'm captions.
Envisioning like Raina on top of like, you know, that stand where they have the instruments on. She's on there getting with this man.
Yeah, there
like,
was a band
mounting.
Up there. It was so loud. Yeah. We also like, I feel like when you have like big vacation energy, like we were setting off on our like 3 week
trip around
Europe.
Yes, right.
You're so open to everything. Like, it's like, why do you always meet people on vacation? Because the stakes are so low.
I'm going to leave anyway.
I fucked our driver in Greece. That's how you meet somebody.
This guy was so hot.
Really?
It was outrageous. He liked her attitude problem. So he zeroed in on her and he was like, you seem...
bossy is what he said. I was like, okay.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was a one-night stand. We never spoke again. And Raina was like, yeah, Ashley, you fucked the driver. What'd you expect?
I was like, I thought I'd hear from him more.
The best thing about what we do, and especially Raina, obviously, but I also do stand-up comedy, is like getting to tell these stories on stage. Mm. I mean, it's like that story and then the guy that I met at the show are my two best back-to-back stories. There's a whole like, you know, it's not important, but there's like a component of the sexual experience. And I just really, it's so nice.
Yeah.
Especially if we always say, like, if you feel like something didn't work out with a guy, you feel like you got ghosted, you got dumped. Like, it's so fun to like,
it's a story
to get content out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything is content. What a great fucking job.
And even just telling your friends at brunch, like, that's what we always say. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is how we bond.
Right.
You know, like women, we love that story.
Oh,
we
no,
love that
I will
insane
walk
story.
Into like a, I have no back. Like, if anyone meets me in person, I think people would think I'd be a lot more private. I am literally, like, I'll walk in, I'll meet someone there, and I'll be like, I went on the weirdest date last
yes,
night.
Like, uh-huh. As in, like, we were, like,
that is
be friends
how
with
I
you.
Make, that is literally how I make friends with people.
Yes!
Uh-huh.
Like, I was...
That's how women bond!
Yeah, like, there was this shoot, like, I can't remember where it was a few months ago, and I'd, like, gone on this date the night before, and my manager was there in the morning, and she, like, obviously wanted a full debrief, and I, like, walked in, like my eyes, like, walked in, like, sat down, and I was like, like the makeup artist there, like, and I was like, hey, I'm gonna tell the story of the date.
Wait,
she was
well,
like,
I want to know the
like,
story.
Oh, I can't tell you the story.
Okay, we'll do it offline.
Yeah,
this is how we actually
it actually oh, it's a great story by now. But essentially just like sat there and this makeup artist is just there being like, hey, nice to meet you. And then she's just like painting my face while I'm being like, and then.
Yes.
And like full, like that's literally how... I just feel like the more we can be open about those things, it's also more the things that we, like, the sources of things that embarrass us, like getting ghosted, getting, like, any of these things that we're like, oh, that's like, I wish someone hadn't done that. Like, those are the things, that's how, like, vulnerability is literally how you bond.
Yes, and going back to the friend conversation, like, right. Again, this is not easy for everybody, and of course you could say something about a bad date you went on, and it could be the wrong person that makes you feel weird about it, but I think just keep that in your mind, I guess, women who are listening who are maybe having trouble making friends. Like, telling somebody, like, if you're in a conversation, you're having small talk, and it comes up that you went on a bad date last night, I am honed in. Right. That's how to be my friend.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to know this story, you know, like, things like that. Or just, I think it's a nice thing to keep in mind, like, of how to make friends, like, the actual content that bonds us together in the first place.
I completely agree. I feel like joint vulnerability is, like, the way in.
Yes.
I will do it in any scenario. Like, there's never an inappropriate scenario for me to be telling about dates.
Like, I have a UTI right now. Sorry, right. I'm just kind of struggling. You know, just, like, telling people something that's personal, you're, like, bonded immediately.
Right.
I was at this house in the Hamptons staying with these people. I was like, God, I fucking hate these people. That's just, it wasn't my crew. And this girl was telling the longest, dumbest story. And then she said something like... I've been with this guy for 8 years and he won't marry me. And I was like, screw! Like, I was
and
like,
we have around
everyone.
Yeah.
I was
so true.
Like, let's unpack this. So why doesn't he want to get married? Let's talk about why you need to get married. And I just, all these girls started to gather and it was just like the best conversation.
Yes. When women just open up and like sit, do that, I'm like, I feel so lucky. I'm like, you're like us. Like, right, you're one of us.
And
like,
it's always like nice. Like, when you're in a new environment, it's so easy to feel like you can't get past that like level, especially if there are people there who you don't think will respond well to that.
Yep.
But like in any even like work, like I feel like in a working environment, obviously I need to be professional. Like, as in like there's lines. Like, and also we can't really be talking about like sex with everyone. Otherwise, like there's workplace rules. And not trying to make
we
know,
don't have an HR department at our company.
I'm not trying to make like yeah
but make
I'm
people comfortable to,
yeah,
of course of
exactly.
course
exactly but like even you know like as in getting that back from people and even like there have been like shoots I've been on with my company and it's like we're you know it's a few days and we're away and like all of this and as soon as like you're able like I'll just bring something up that's like that type of thing and it's like instantly everyone's just like oh thank god like it's like a
yes,
breath of like it's
everybody
like
everybody does this right. stuff and you know I Ashley and I launched a company recently. It's sex toys with a paired app and all this erotic audio
it's
content.
Amazing.
It's really exciting. But
yeah,
I grew up. Yeah, we brought you a gift. I grew up like masturbating and not knowing that other women knew how to do this trick. Like I was like, oh, I just get to like rub this thing and I get the best feeling in the world. I didn't know other women knew how to do this until I was like 23.
You've discovered it.
You're I thought I like invented this trick. So I didn't know that other women like were doing this. And like to have this podcast where we can talk about the sex toys right. and masturbating and people's fantasies. Ashley produces a lot of the content in the app, all the erotic audio stories, and just to like be able to normalize that and have women be like, yeah, I use my vibrator with this app and I listen to this story and the best orgasm of my life. We sell these toys that are really phenomenal and people rave about them.
What's the wait list thing?
Everything's in stock right now.
Oh,
and
I love that.
So yeah, vibes
only. They've sold out over and over.
The one that is called the Reina just keeps flying out the door.
The clit sucker. We brought you a toy. And we brought you the Ashley, which is so beautiful and it's gold. It has a gold handle and it's our toys are so pretty and they're such a great gift to get.
And we brought you some lube.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. This is so fun.
Love the conversation.
You're amazing. This is my dream come true.
Yay! Us too.